Skyla, how are you?
I'm fantastic, yeah. Joanie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Very happy to have you in the studio with us today.
I'm on the agenda.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's always nice to have someone come into the studio. You know, you do a lot of interviews where it's over the phone and there's a lost element there, but it's nice to have you right there,
yep.
Right in front of me. To talk about some slam poetry. So you are a slam poet on the scene, and you're quite popular, I reckon.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
You're very loved at the events I go to.
Thank you.
How did you get into it?
Just totally by accident. It was just literally a classic case of like one thing. I went to a writing group to help with desensitizing to going into places that I didn't know. And then there was someone there at the writing group who was a poet who was launching her book, and she heard a couple of my poems and was like, would you please do a poem at my launch? So I did that. And then someone at her launch, an event organizer, was like, I love your work. Can you come and do a feature set for me? And it just went from there. I was like, what the hell? How did this happen?
Yeah. And what do you get out of poetry? Like what does it do? What does it do for you?
I think it just gives me a space to download and just kind of say what's on my mind. And it just, I don't think about it too much. It just kind of happens and lands on the page when it lands on the page. And, you know, and I might deliver it somewhere, and if it's well received, then I kind of stick with it and polish it up and make it better as good as I can. And if it's not well received, I kind of shelve it. Okay, then no one's ready for that shit.
Yeah, awesome. I know exactly what you mean. It's like you get to just share your diary with the world.
Yeah, kind of.
So you've just put out this beautiful new book called Shine. Tell us about it.
So Shine is a collaboration between me and one of my beautiful friends who's an artist, Neshka Turner. So she designed the cover for my first book, Pieces of Humanity, and straight after that I was just like, I really want this book of art. I'm a very visual person. You know, would you do art for my poems? And she was like, yes, I'll do that. So, yeah, so it's probably about a two-year project. And, yeah, it's finally all come together and launched in June. And,
And it's stunning. Like, the illustrations are just wonderful.
Yeah.
I went to the launch and, you know, they were all up on the walls and it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
You're also doing a project called Decent Beings. You're trying to raise a little bit of money for it. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So Decent Beings was a bit of a brainchild that I had easily 3 years ago. And it was just about the fact that in my own trauma journey, trying to find healing and all the rest of it, it's really hard, especially if you're from a lower income kind of lifestyle, to get holistic treatment because it's not funded by Medicare. Or, you know, even private health or anything like that. But a lot of these natural therapies are way more beneficial or helpful in many instances than the regular thing that you're just told, well, you have to go there kind of thing. So Decent Beings really was just born from that idea of, like, I was lucky enough to have access to certain treatments and whatever. What can I do to share that? And so I dreamed this big dream that became way too big. So the next few years, so the next few years have just been spent kind of developing little parts of that. And so the part that we're going with right now is we're going to the UK on tour for the book. And during that time on tour for the book, Neshka and I are going to be running workshops, which will be available to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get to workshops. And it's just about, the workshops are called Finding the Joy. And, you know, they're not therapy in themselves, but they're just ways of sharing how art and poetry and using words in all different ways and just doing some really fun activities to give people a chance to later on go, oh, I could, you know, if they're spiraling downwards, it's like, oh, I could just, you know, do this. I could. So we're providing them. Thank you to everyone who has donated so far. It means, I think we've got about $1,500 so far, so we can actually provide people with watercolour pencils, a copy of the book, their own notepads.
Beautiful.
Everything. So it's awesome.
That's fantastic. So I reckon we'll get you to read us a couple of poems. What have you got for us?
Okay. It's so hard when you've got a book full of poems. It's like, which ones?
I know, right?
But basically, I think what I'm going to give you is just kind of a bit of a cross-section of some of the stuff I do. So the first one is called When You Say.
Awesome.
Since the Garden of Eden to present day, women have been labelled no matter how they behave. Witch, bitch, bewitcher, emotional, prone to hysteria, temptress, tease, temperamental, hopeless, helpless, and our all-time favourite, hormonal. Diminishing anything we say to less than intelligent or credible, yet incredibly when you say, until proven guilty, everyone has the right to be presumed innocent. You lack the intelligence to understand presumption of innocence does not make you innocent. When you say, oh, here we go, another woman on the bandwagon of Me Too, do you honestly believe we would choose to make up a story, placing us under public scrutiny for everyone to scrutinise and hypothesise about the part we had to play in some guy not keeping his hands to himself, his mouth shut or his pants zipped up? I don't think you realise the bravery required to step into an arena where you're less likely to be heard than fired, an arena where women remain defenceless as you build your defence with any historical evidence that will show her up as being a slut, as if that will prove you're innocent. I don't think you realise the Me Too movement only exists because those with any kind of power insist on using it for their own gratuitous benefit, and let's not forget it was your need to say Me Too at lunch with your fist bump and boys club that led you to engage in exploitive behaviour so you could trade not stories but facts of your escapades, rendering women to their knees and backs as you back them into corners of no-choice choices with your bribery and coercion. Remember, as your then-jubilant cry of Me Too echoes down through time back to you, these women are exorcising the demons born of your misuse. They are exercising their right to no longer remain silent, and no matter how much time's expired, your presumption they are lying does not make them liars.
Yes, bloody oath. Go, Skylar.
You
are listening to RTRFM 92.1. This is The Agenda, and we are chatting to slam poet Skylar J. Winter about her new book, Shine, and she's sharing some poetry with us. Give us another one.
So this one is called Discovery. I was taught, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I have discovered somehow dreams unfold in ways beyond our control when we venture off plan into the unknowable. I was taught life is in a permanent state of change, yet we seem determined to resist it, steadfastly miserable about the new normal, despite the isolating and distancing having created space for listening, space for finding solutions to mending all the pieces we are learning are broken. I have discovered change recalibrates my orbit towards the gravitational pull of experiences I've never dreamt of. I was taught a doctrine about the right and wrong of a plethora of things which created a bedrock of opinions based on inherited beliefs, but no experiential knowing. I have discovered opinions are better fluid, nothing beats experience, and right and wrong are just perspective. I was taught that love anointed by God adhered to strict rules on race, religion, and gender. I have discovered there is so much more to love than any of these things, and it cannot in stone be rendered as commandments. I have fallen in love with women who are strong beyond any notion of the notion of strength I was born with. Articulating truths of the collective from personal perspective, they embody the spirit of Amazons, and I cannot help but love them. I have fallen in love with men of all race, religion, and sexual orientation. Watching them stand in solidarity with women and other minorities has shown me all the beautiful a man can choose to be. There is no question. It has changed me. I have fallen in love with humans who do not identify as one gender or another, and they exemplify courage. They are fearless because they have faced the worst of us, yet choose to stand up and be counted, honouring their truths even as rigid minds refuse to honour the scientific basis of their truth. Splendour and magnificence is kept within what makes us different, and I can no longer be indifferent. I have fallen in love with individuals classified, minimised and victimised throughout the ages. Things I was taught I should not tolerate, I now appreciate and celebrate. I have fallen in love with people in general, and I have discovered it does not need to be sexual to be deep and effectual on my soul. everyone I have fallen for, first and foremost, is a person, and I have discovered that by embracing all that is human instead of the rules, trying to contain all that is human, more possibilities exist for whom we can fall in love with than what is suggested by a poorly informed idea of the right and wrong of whom we can fall in love with. During this unique time in human history, I have taken a journey of discovery, and through eyes made innocent from the realization I know nothing, I have discovered infinite truths and realities exist, just waiting to be embraced by minds that are free.
Yes, beautiful. I've seen that one just like knock out a room. It's kind of weird not to hear applause after it, actually.
Yeah.
So
it is. Thank you.
Yeah, love your work, Skylar. Have you got one more for us?
I do have one more. Now, this one, I don't know. Do I issue a trigger warning on the radio?
If you like,
I feel that, this is quite a brutal one. It is not my story, but it is someone's story. And, it's a brutal, but it's people's reality. So this is called Punchline. Attracted to you because you were a funny bloke. She never dreamed she'd feature in your one-man stand-up show as the punchline to your jokes. She was just looking for a good time, which you showed her. Disguising yourself as sublime, you fooled her. Matching her sparkle with dazzle, you wooed her. What could she do but think all her dreams had come true as you pursued her? It was not until after the wedding you marooned her, and we just assumed, each time she made an excuse, she was busy being a wife she was to an abuser. She was a ray of sunshine the rare times we saw her, but I noticed the storm clouds gathering on her skin when her sleeve slipped back as we were pegging washing, and I begged her to leave. She shrugged, said it was nothing, a once-off only, and you were beyond sorry. Then came the black eye, followed by the broken ribs, followed by the beating so bad she would never have kids, and I stood powerlessly by, wondering why the woman who once told me the only point to living is to have a good time could keep going home to you. She would not leave because she wanted to believe her love was all you'd need to find your way back to the man you were before you married. She'd never been a quitter. It did not matter that you hit her, only that she knew. The monster who beat her black and blue was not the real you, and you were trying to be better. I want to know, what turned you into a chameleon, hiding beneath the skin that helps you blend in, standing out to women until you've sucked them in? What motivates you to use physical and mental abuse as a tool to remove their core, leaving them hollow, merely shadows as dark as the makeup and clothes they use to disguise your violence? I wanted to take her, make her my prisoner until the Stockholm Syndrome convincing her she was Harley Quinn to your Joker wore off. I wanted her to remember what having a good time felt like before her life was over. I wanted you behind bars featuring in a show where you copped a few punchlines of your own. But I waited just a moment too long. A moment you used to punch a bullet through her brain and another through your own, leaving me to preach the lesson. There's no time to hesitate if you want to keep somebody safe.
Thank you for sharing. Beautiful work, Skylar.
Thank you. Sorry, that was a real heavy one, but I just felt that needed to be said today.
Absolutely. So if our listeners want to contribute to Decent Beings, your trauma support workshops, where can they go?
So that's a really good question because I am really bad at technology, but there is a GoFundMe page called Decent Beings. If you jump on Facebook, I am sure if you find me, Skylar J. Winter, you'll find it on my feed and links to it there.
Yeah, awesome.
I think you could possibly Google GoFundMe. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
They'll figure it out. They've got enough keywords that they can punch it into the Google and figure it out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on to the agenda today.